It's a fried rice Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, and Merry Christmas, everybody! I'm your host, Andy Rice, and this is Fried Rice Podcast. Let's get fried. With me, as always, is Brennan. Jingle bells, Brennan smells, Michael laid an egg. Andy's car lost a wheel. And Bob ran away. Hey, Shipley up to Boston.
Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas.
With us as always, it's Michael. He's older than Santa Claus himself. Older than the snow. Older than Christmas as an idea, which makes him older than, I guess, Jesus himself. Larson.
Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas.
And I'm your host, I've already said it, it's Andy Rice. All right, so it's Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. We decided to do a special, you know, just for you guys on Christmas Day release of a very classic Christmas movie, you know, the most classic Christmas movie, you could say, and which we'll get to in just a bit. But, oh, yeah, there's no What Are We Smoking? Because this is just a Christmas special.
Well, I was going to say, what? Do you have, like, a Christmas routine, Christmas... what's the word I'm looking for?
Traditions.
Yeah.
Oh, for me, no. My newest tradition is to use that tree that you gave me last year. Thank you, by the way. Yeah. The cool artificial to put in the corner. I was waiting until after Thanksgiving.
Smart.
And then I don't buy gifts, and I tell my family we don't do no gift exchange. And then I show up, we have food, and then I awkwardly kind of sit there while everyone opens up gifts. And No, they open up their gifts. Okay. I watch my family open up the gifts they gave to themselves, mainly the kids or whatever, but I always tell everybody, don't do gifts. I don't want to buy gifts. I don't want to receive any. And so, because the one thing, look, Christmas, put up your trees, put up your lights, make your food, do what you got to do, but the gift giving, the commercialism, I'm over it. I'm so fucking over it. So sorry, everybody. Merry Christmas, but fuck, this is the most commercialized bullshit holiday of all time when it comes to they just want you to spend money. Just like Halloween, 25% of all candy sold in the year sold just for Halloween. I bet probably, 25%, 30% of all gift cards and go for Valentine's Day.
That is, I swear to God, that was a Hallmark conspiracy Valentine's Day was.
Yeah, it had to be. They just took a massacre that happened a few hundred years earlier, and they're like, you know what, we could turn this into a, into what we like to call a Hallmark occasion.
Yeah.
And then you take Christmas, which they say it celebrates the birth of Christ, but of course no one knows the day Christ was born.
Well, they know it was in the summer.
It
wasn't winter.
But wait, the summer for Jerusalem? That's one thing, because that could be our winter.
No, we're the same.
Yeah.
Are we the same as... Yeah.
Australia is the one.
Australia, okay.
Yeah. Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, but it's just like one of those things, like no one knows the day he was born, so we've just arbitrarily picked December 25th because...
Winter solstice,
why not?
Because they were already having a party on that day, let's steal that party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's just bastardize, you know, like take someone else's pagan holidays, turn it into a religious one. Right? Just like they did with Easter? No, other way around. Easter was a religious holiday. Now it's Easter Bunny with eggs and candy holiday.
Yeah.
I don't think it's religious anymore. I mean, there are people that go to church on Easter, but I think for the most part, 80% of... I don't know. I'm just making a percent.
My kids don't have any clue. Yeah,
just Easter Bunny and candy. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. How often do you stress the resurrection story when you're talking to your kids about their painted eggs and Easter Bunny stuff?
They're not there yet, so.
Okay.
They're kids.
Yeah.
My kids, now know about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Is about the time I told them that, about okay, that. Well, this is what this holiday's really about. Yeah. And this is why it's so weird. That was actually the conversation we had. It's about how weird it was.
Weird to do the eggs. Yeah, the egg thing kind of doesn't really
bunny
make
and all that. It's
any
just weird.
Sense.
Well, I mean, no. South Park nailed it as to why we paint the eggs. Because there's a secret order of rabbits trying to... it was, if you not, if that's the one of the best South Parks, it's their take on that one movie with Tom Hanks where he's Da Vinci Code. So it's the Da Vinci Code. It's their version of Da Vinci Code. So it's a bunch of like Catholic priests who are secretly part of like a bunny cult who are like, or they're trying to like, and then Jesus, one of the best things in it was Jesus is in prison. Like they, because in South Park, Jesus is a character. He's like exists. Yeah. He has a talk show, but like he's in jail and he tells he needs to get out of jail. So he tells Stan to kill him. He's like, listen, Stan, if I kill myself, I can't go to heaven because that's a sin. But if you kill me, I'll resurrect outside the bars. And Stan's like, I don't want to kill you, Jesus.
Wait, was it Stan?
Or no,
or
it was Kyle.
Yeah.
It was Kyle. So sorry, because the Jewish Kyle. Yeah. Yeah. And so he's like, I don't want to kill you, Jesus. And so he does, and he stabs him in the throat a bunch of times or whatever. And then Jesus resurrects. It's so good. Like,
classic.
Yeah. So here we go. Commercialized random day in December holiday. Celebrated by bringing a tree inside your home. Buying presents that you feel that they need to be wrapped. You know, so that's just a waste of paper.
But you don't have kids.
Yeah. What? Because that's sort of for us. It's like we do the same thing. My wife and I don't exchange presents anymore because I just tell her buy whatever you want, whenever you want. But as far as kids, then we buy all the presents for them. Because what are you going to do? All your friends got presents. My wife has a kid in her class who's seventh day, and they don't do Christmas.
They don't, yeah.
And she's having a hell of a time with it because all the other kids were like, we want to sing Christmas carols. You can't. Yeah. It's like, which sucks.
But it's all, well, hold on, it sucks, but then what Christmas carols? Because I wouldn't want to have to sing Holy Night, Silent Night, or whatever. I wouldn't want to sing any Jesus-centric carols.
It's not the have to sing. You don't have to do anything in class. But they're not allowed to, the kids actually even just sit there. That kid's not allowed to even hear them.
So it's different than what you're talking about.
It's like literally they can't have an assembly that has anything to do with Christmas. They can't sing Christmas carols in class.
They do holiday festivities.
No, they cannot.
What would prevent
the
a seventh-day Adventist?
They don't even do birthdays or anything.
They don't even
do
birthdays.
But
nothing.
What would stop? What would be offensive to a seventh day if you walked into class and there was some holly on the like decorations on the in the hallway and it was just we love the winter season and season's greetings and
no, that would be fine.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. Just take the Christmas out of it. I get it. Seasons
greetings. You're still not going to get kids who are 8 to understand the concept.
Yeah.
You're trying to unconceptualize 8-year-old kids, which you can't do in a 3-week period.
You're trying to, but really it's just taking the Christ out of Christmas.
Well, no, it's not just taking the Christ out of Christmas. No celebrations of really anything. They're not allowed to do July 4th. They're not allowed to do birthdays. Nothing.
I mean, okay.
You're not supposed to celebrate anything to do with you, basically.
Yeah, they treat every day like the same.
Yeah. Weird cult to be a part of.
Yeah. It is, yeah. I know. But I'm saying it affects all the other kids. My point is it affects all the other kids.
Yeah.
Because they're not allowed to do the things they would want to do.
If I were in that class as a kid, I would absolutely celebrate my birthday, give out invitations, and then what would happen if I did that? My teacher would tell me I'm not allowed to enjoy my birthday?
Yes. No, you're not allowed to enjoy it in class.
I think the kid can't. Like, the kid can't participate.
Okay, I know what you think, but I'm telling you reality.
Okay. A reality is wrong, then.
Yeah, well, I'm not... That was the whole point of bringing it up, is that it's wrong that all these kids can't.
I mean, I agree that they, like... I wouldn't want to be in class and have to listen to someone sing Christian, like, religious...
Right.
...stuff. Right. Like, I wouldn't want that.
What about the Pledge of Allegiance, then?
I was always one that took away the under God.
But, right, you didn't say it. That's the way it's supposed to be. You don't have to do anything, but you still have to listen to it because you're there.
That's my point.
Yeah.
No, but that's the exact point I'm making to you about this kid. He doesn't have to say it. He doesn't have to celebrate it. He doesn't have to pay attention to it, but he can sit there. Just like
I agree, that's how it should be, but it's not.
Because it's changed
because
so much.
It's religious, not just because it's.
Well, I'll tell you what.
A religious thing.
I believe next year, it's gonna be. They're gonna have a lot easier time doing.
Well, yeah, she'll have a new class. That kid won't be in it.
Also, I was gonna say just politically, she's gonna have an easier time doing. Like they'll be able to sing full blown Christian gospel choir Christmas songs next year. It's 2025. It's a different administration where Trump wants to put Bibles back in the classroom. So that's nationwide. I think next year they were going to be singing Oh Holy Night, you know, stuff like that.
I think changes take longer than that. There's local school districts, local
years.
Boards.
Yeah, they'll fight
that.
It
you
or whatever
with,
if they don't want to do it. But still.
What's the highest you've ever been on Christmas?
The highest? I don't know. I don't feel like I ever
changed the subject a little bit.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know. I don't really.
I remember one year, it was like right around like, you know, it's 18, 19, somewhere in that age, living on my own. And I'd go over to my parents' house and like, I stayed the night and I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to have any weed to smoke. So I picked up one of those Corva cookies or Corova, whatever that brand was, 500 milligram cookie. And I woke up and had my cup of coffee and a cigarette and I ate most of that cookie.
And then went to bed.
And then sat on the couch while we did our presents. And then by the time we were done with presents, I was baked off my ass. And went over to my aunt's house for Thanksgiving, like for Christmas dinner. And it was the best. I was baked
the best
all
Christmas
day.
Dinner ever. I just ate it.
I just ate. Yeah, it was great. My sister got me like a one of those like drug rug hoodies, you know, and it was a Rasta colored one. And I was like, fuck it, I'm vibing with this all day. Baked off my head. That was a good time. Good Christmas.
Oh, that's great.
And he's going for it today to be his most
high stone Christmas. Yeah, there you go.
What's today? Oh. Yeah.
This Christmas.
This Christmas story. Well, yeah, we might as well get into the movie. Sorry, everybody, if I offended you. It's just, you know, everyone's got different opinions. I just, again, it's more that this holiday is just kind of like a commercialized. There's so many different people saying it means so many different things that, like, it's hard to really, like, if you want to make this about Jesus, make it about Jesus. If you want to make it about family, make it about family. If you want to make it about gifts, make it about gifts. But for me, I think it's just, I like the feeling of Christmas. I like going into December. I like eggnog.
I love
Christmas music. I love Christmas movies. I love the idea of seeing Santas everywhere.
I wish we had snow.
Yeah, I do
too. That's the one thing I wish that we would get during Christmas time is snow.
Yeah. I mean, we out here in Arizona do not get snow. But, I mean, where I used to live, you just go up the mountain a little bit, and it's right there. I mean, it's... So all that being said, let's get into potentially the most iconic Christmas movie of all time, Christmas Story.
Yes.
Which came out in 1986.
Oh,
do you have it on there?
It came out in 1983.
83. Okay, so prior to Christmas Vacation, prior to Home Alones, prior to all the, I guess, the other iconic kind of Christmas movies. So prior to Christmas Story, you go iconic Christmas movies. You're talking Black and White, Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah.
You're talking
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. And then of course the Rankin Bass classics like the Frosted Snowman, the Jack Frost with Kubla Khan.
Yeah. Oh, Kubla Khan.
I love Jack. Yeah. I love Jack Frost.
Hello, Kubla.
I'll always remember that. And, I would say, and of course, like the Rudolph and, so those claymation or stop motions.
And the Grinch.
The Grinch. Yeah. The cartoon.
Yes.
Because we haven't had have the Jim Carrey yet.
Yeah.
So really, I would say like that was the previous generation of Christmas, right? Even though I think the Rankin Bass stuff was still coming out around the time that this was coming out. But like that was your black and white, your mom and dad's Christmas. Which this tried to emulate by putting it in the 50s of when your mom and dad, or when you would have been a kid or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, I guess the point is for nostalgia, you'd be in your 30s, 40s.
Kind of it's interesting because it's both.
And what's also crazy is that the way time works is nuts. So someone watching this in 1983, if they were 40, right, that would make them how old in the 50s? Like, they would be born in the 40s then, right?
So, yeah. They would be
well,
born
at least 40,
yeah. The movie's
43.
Set in 40. It's like 43, 44, yeah. Somewhere in that range.
Oh, I thought it was 50s.
Well, it can't be.
No.
I think it's... No, it's,
no, it's
the
TVs.
40s.
Or 49.
It's
like 48 or 49.
40s,
yeah.
It's after war. It's post-war.
It's
and
after
we have TVs.
It's so... Well, because in the parade, they have the Wizard of Oz characters and stuff like that. The Wizard of Oz came out in 48.
Yeah.
Something like
so
that.
Like
so 49. They're like, it's either 48 or 49.
Wait, but I think the Wizard of Oz characters would be out and about for years after.
That's,
they would, but
yeah.
They tell you.
Well, at one point, Ralphie
40s.
Says this is the same parade as last year, so it could be like 49.
Have they? It's not established the time. They don't say what
no.
time.
They
wait,
never
but
say it.
Can yeah. you please look up when the TV came out? I know that you
when
were alive
the TV,
then. It might be hard to remember
the
date.
Television, black
when,
and white,
when
like
black and white televisions came out for public, because they saw it in the, they didn't have one at home, I don't think.
I think they were out, they were just expensive.
I thought the TV came out in the 50s, but you should probably just, yeah. Oh, okay. So, okay, it was invented in 27. Yeah, but when was it available to the public?
39.
Okay, so 1939. All right, so you might be right. Yeah. And since they didn't own one, and it was just in the shop.
Yeah, they were expensive.
And everyone was gathered around it. Or, wait, actually, do we even see a TV in this? I'm thinking now they were looking at the toy
shop.
They were
looking at toys, yeah.
Okay, which, yeah. So this could be the 40s.
I think
right
eventually.
After the war?
Well,
eventually, I'm going to be a model train guy eventually.
You are?
I think so. It looks like fun.
Model trains. Wait, hold on, Mike. We're not going to move past model trains.
We've been talking a lot about trains on this podcast.
Yeah,
that's why
have.
I was trying to go right past it, because of trains. You'll have the TV on and playing a train video in a minute.
I'll tell you this. You're not wrong, but it won't, I won't suck us down that. But one of my two favorite things got combined, which is like just a nice train on a train track, which I do. I like the efficiency of a train on a train track. It's like there's no deviation. It's just straight line.
Go.
Does what it needs to do. And sushi. And I went to a sushi train place where they put a little sushi. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Mike, but they put.
Where is it? Where is that one at?
It was in California.
It was
Orange
in LA.
County. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Mine was Orange County. And it's really fun because what they do is each plate. The colors of it. So, like, be white plates, tan plates, yellow plates, blue plates, whatever. $1 or $2, $3, $4, $5, right? Depending on the grade of sushi. And it's just a piece of sushi or a couple little pieces of sushi, no extras, no frills. And it just goes around the store, like, for anybody to take. So it's almost buffet, but it's like
and
it comes
drop
to
your plates in a in like a little slot, right?
And they just had a stack, and then they just count the plates at the end to tell you how much you owe.
That's cool.
And it was cool.
That's a cool idea.
And sushi was pretty good.
It was.
Give me some spicy edamame and a Las Vegas roll, and I'm like, I'm fucking set. Yeah. So happy. I might go get sushi today.
it's not going to be as good
as what
as that.
Well, we live in Arizona.
Yeah, we're in a landlocked state. Yeah, it's a little harder.
You know what? Actually,
all sushi here is gas station sushi.
But still good, though.
Yeah, here's the thing. That's
I've
one
eaten
of those
gas station sushi before.
Me too.
No, that's
Sam's
one of those...
Club has great sushi,
man. Too.
That's one of those things that's like, I feel like wine in the sense that I feel bullshit. Every piece of sushi that I've ever had in Laughlin or even here in Bullhead has been delicious. Because here's the thing. Artificial crab doesn't grow in the fucking ocean. That's artificial, my guys. The few pieces of fish that they actually put
it's just
on.
Frozen, yeah. That's
yeah, and then what? Rice needs to come from somewhere near the ocean? Yeah. No. And maybe the seaweed, but seaweed is seaweed. Yeah. You dry that
it's
shit out anyway.
It's the difference in fresh and frozen, is all. It's not a huge
but
difference.
Even the ones in California, I promise you, you go to L.A.
They still get it frozen.
They
some
get it
them,
frozen.
Yeah.
They
get
it because here's the thing, Mike. L.A.'s 3 hours, 3.5 hours from here. You don't think trucks can make the 3-hour drive from the same ocean that L.A.'s getting their food from? Why does everyone assume you live right next to, like, if you live within an hour of the ocean, every sushi place is now going to buy just the premium, most just caught from the ocean that day sushi? No, the cheap sushi places are buying the same stuff that the cheap
sushi
places.
Yeah, but Momofuku isn't, was my point.
What was that?
Momofuku is not.
What's Momofuku?
Momofuku. Right. And it's really just nice. It's a fancy sushi place.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. There,
yeah, go
if
to
you
a,
want sushi, go to a fancy
or
sushi
like Nobu.
Places,
or
Nobu. Go to a place Nobu, that costs right, $100 a roll, and then, yeah, I hope to God that you looked that fish in the eye before the fucking chef, like, well, killed it in
so
front
you know,
of you and made it fresh.
It's not $100 a roll. It's the difference in $5 and $10 a roll. But yeah.
No, I, cause here's, but again, I don't like when people say that living out here in Arizona somehow gives us worse sushi, because the place across the street, Minato's, has delicious fucking sushi.
My problem with the sushi out here is everything's covered in eel sauce, or they're, you know, they cover it in sauce versus letting the fish speak for itself.
That's then, because they have to. Though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The flavor's still there, though. It's still good.
Yeah.
Again.
It's got to do with it being good. It's the difference in the taste of fresh fish out of the ocean
again,
and
this
the
is
taste
driving
of all
me
the
nuts. This is driving me nuts. The beach, by my math right now, if I were to go to my hometown from here, it would take me 3.5 hours. Right. Okay, how long does it take to get to the beach from there? 1 hour. 4.5 hours. Now, I'm going to now go to a sushi. So any sushi place in LA is going to get, it takes an hour to get to them. Okay, so now we're just adding an extra 3.5 hours of drive time. That's not the difference between fresh and not fresh in my mind.
No. It's not, but they just don't order it that way here. But, I understand that.
I get that. But I think 90% of all sushi places don't order fresh, right from the ocean, Nobu, Coco Mufu.
You think 90% of the LA places don't? No,
LA
I don't
proper?
Think that. I think it's about 50-50.
Most sushi restaurants do get their fish in frozen
yeah.
because they have to freeze it to kill off most bacteria.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're going to get it frozen.
It's either
going to
be frozen or that day, generally.
Or that day, exactly.
Yeah. I think, yeah, but
the places we're talking about, they go in
the
morning down to the fish market, buy what they want,
yeah.
and prepare it that
sure.
day.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm just telling you, there's a difference.
You bougie motherfuckers. Are you saying that you wouldn't go to a sushi place
no,
in California?
I go to all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just telling you there's a difference. You're saying there's no difference, and I'm
Wait,
telling you
when
there
did
is
I say there's no
difference.
I never said there's no difference between fresh and frozen. Yes. What I'm saying is the places, there are places that buy their food fresh, right? But that's not most sushi places. Most sushi places in the world probably buy their fish frozen.
I agree.
And so most of the time, so it's like saying that sushi sucks because it's in Arizona makes no sense because it's the
no
same.
One said it sucks.
But
it's
no one said that.
No, that's how this all started. We
I said it's not
I
as
said,
good.
I said, give me a Las Vegas roll. No. Hold on. That's what you said. But hold on. Mike said, we'll just back this up. I'll fucking review the tape, motherfuckers. This started with you saying, or me saying that, like, oh, yeah, you just give me a Las Vegas roll and I'm chilling. And then I think you said something to the degree of, well, but it's out here, so. And then I'm like, what do you mean it's out here? Which is the whole point. I don't think that.
I think I said it's not going to be as good.
Okay.
That's what I said.
But I don't think that that's true. I feel like it's the chef who prepares it. It's the sauces they use. It's the other ingredients they use. I went to, you know, my favorite sushi place was? I'm sure they bought their shit frozen because it was an Inland Empire. Why would that be any different
sure.
than fucking here?
Yeah.
And they had an all-you-can-eat sushi menu.
Yeah.
They had a no-rice menu that was just imitation crab where rice would be. And it was like, they had something called the tomato. And it was just fish with all the shit around it. I mean, it was amazing. That place was so good. They went out of business. All you can eat sushi? Are you fucking insane?
Yeah.
You can't do that. They went out of business. It was crazy. We
I
took advantage
all
of
you can
it.
Eat. I miss all you can
did
eat
you,
sushi.
Did you hear, speaking of, just because it's funny, literally last week they did an interview with the new people that took over the Red Lobsters because they went bankrupt or whatever.
Oh,
the dude's like, we are never doing endless shrimp again. And the dude that's interviewing was like, why? He's like, because I know how to do math. Literally, that was the people that took over
the family that showed me the all-you-can-eat sushi place went in with a mission. They wouldn't eat leading up to that, and then they would go in and order hundreds of dollars worth of sushi and eat it shamelessly.
Yeah. Oh,
just
get your
as
money's
much,
worth.
Get your money's worth. Yeah. Well, no, but that's the thing. You're getting way more than your money.
Yeah.
When does morality play into it? That's
I
one
feel
of those.
Like that every time I go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah,
here
to a buffet. That's the thing. You want to
get
your money's worth.
Buffet is different than all you can eat in my mind because here's all you can eat sushi is they're making it for you every single roll. They're just pumping these out and giving them to you. They're bringing them to your table. And you're just getting all you can eat, right? You're ordering them. You have a little menu. You order what you want and
but
stuff.
But they charge you for pieces that you don't eat. So that's kind of where they make up for it.
Well, you just
you
don't get anything
take...
you're not going to eat, and you're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just go endlessly. But a buffet is different. A buffet, they prepare the food. It's out there. They want people to go and get as much as they can. They want buffets want you to clean them out. Like that's kind of like they don't want to waste food. They want to be like the perfect idea is they put the right amount of food out and everyone took it and everyone's happy, right?
Yeah.
With all you can eat though, is that one of those? I think that's one of those things that no one talks about, but where people are just truly scumbags. Because you shouldn't go to an all-you-can-eat with the idea, I'm going to clean these people out. I'm going to hurt their business by how much food I'd consume. I'm going to go with my...
You don't go there with that in mind. You go there with, I want to get my money's worth.
You don't think about it. Most people just don't think
about it. Like, I'm going to spend $40. I'm going to eat $40 worth of rolls. That's how I think about it. I don't think I'm going to eat $80 worth of rolls.
But even if you eat $40 worth of rolls, if everyone does that, that puts them out of business. Because we know how the math works.
But not everybody can.
Business. Right.
Plus, they start adding more. Like, as you get to, like, your second or third round, they do more rice to fish ratio. Like, they'll fill you up with carbs.
Sure.
You know.
But they'll, and also, I'm sure they slow the service down if they're smart. So that you take, so let your food digest a little bit before you get the next one.
Yeah.
But, like.
No more food for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're going to have a really, another offensive Chinese stereotype in just a little bit when we talk about this movie, Mike. So thanks for setting us up, getting us back on track with Christmas Story. Let's talk aesthetic. 50s, or I thought it was 50s, so it's 40s, but so looks beautiful. Every car looks mint brand new. Which makes sense because they kind of just were invented not that long ago, right? Like, we just sort of had cars. Why would they be all fucking pieces of shit right by now? Especially if you're driving into town.
Yeah.
That's one of those, like, you don't drive into town unless you're well-to-do, unless you have, like, a reason. Like, I mean, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they weren't well-to-do, but they had a piece of shit car. We didn't see their car rolling the streets with all the nice other cars. I don't know. But, I like the dad. How old is he supposed to be compared to her?
I don't know because it's odd. It's
It was almost Jack Nicholson.
Really?
It was almost Jack Nicholson, yeah.
People looked older back then, so it's kind of hard to tell.
It is. The people did look older back then.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? You're looking at, you look like Bill Murray or Chevy Chase or whatever. They looked way older than they actually were.
Yeah.
Like a 30 Bill Murray looks like he's 45, 50. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then now, though, we have the reverse effect. Like, Mike doesn't look 50-something, right? Like, you look like you're 40, except for the hair.
Yeah.
And then, like, Paul Rudd's. Like, I think people are just looking younger, you know? But I bet Gen Alpha thinks we all look like we're
fucking 50.
Well,
once again, think about the things, though. Now we shower every day versus once a week.
Yeah.
We just, stuff like that.
And the stuff we eat is different than what they consumed.
But
more antibiotics, more injected with a bunch of shit.
Yeah, but is that better or worse? Now we don't know.
It's better for the outside, worse for the inside.
Now we're dealing with that again coming
up. We're
about speaking of 2025.
We're about to find out if fluoride has been good for us this whole time or not. Because RFK is wants to get rid of the fluoride in the public water system.
Oh, really?
Which...
Well, we know it's good for our teeth. We don't know about the rest of us, I guess, is the story.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of toothless, healthier people? Is that the idea?
I think this is a stock tip, I think. Wow, shit. Maybe I shouldn't say
that
out
loud. Get out a toothbrush.
No. Invest in a water company right now that's producing fluoride water.
No one is, but I'll bet they will. That'll be the first thing, boy. I'll bet, Coke's going to go right to Dasani. You'll be having fluoride.
That's what I'm talking about.
Doesn't it already have fluoride in it?
No.
No,
but 100%.
They will, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's like one of those things. Like, would you want to buy water with fluoride now? It's like, if I buy gallons of water anyway for my thing, and it was the same price for with fluoride.
Yeah, it'll be like how you can get the, different types of water. The
alkaline.
Alkaline, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting to think about. So, but in the 40s, no fluoride.
No.
Yeah, and everyone looked
They all look old.
They all looked old as fuck, and they died a lot younger. But that was also their jobs.
There's also a lot less cancer.
Well, but if you don't have teeth, you can't eat as well. So
that's true. But there was a lot less cancer. Or
diagnosis.
I
think there's a lot
less cancer diagnosis. Maybe people because think about it, a lot more cigarettes.
Yeah,
I mean, we did get to see our first taste of probably 1940s, 1950s autism in this
with the little brother.
No, not well.
Oh, and Ralph?
No, and the kid that's in line, I Like Santa.
Oh.
I Like Santa.
You mean Andy?
Andy, little Andy.
Little Andy. Actually, little Andy is Home Alone, we're about to get. When we do our Home Alone episode next, Kevin McAllister is little Andy. He's a piece of shit, bro. Fucking ruining every holiday. I will get there. Pre-stoplights, kind of cool. You had the cop directing traffic. Yeah. Like, that's a fucking terrible job to have, I'm sure. Standing there in the snow and you're just pointing at people. Hey, stop it, you fucking stop. You know, you have to, everyone's going 25 miles an hour, really speeding back then in those little cars. The little wind-up tank in the, so let's talk about the toy store. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Like, I would have loved that, looking at that as a kid too. The wind-up tank was awesome. The train set was very cool.
Yeah.
See, I mean, now Brendan thinks he's going to start a model train collection.
Eventually. Once the kids move out and stuff like that, you know, I'll turn one of their rooms into the train room.
They take up a lot of room. That's the problem with train
collections. You know, it doesn't take up a lot of room. You should do one of those little, like a single circular track around the tree and get a single starter train at Hobby Lobby.
We got, we have one that's like a Grinch one.
Anywhere
right
but
now.
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Oh, anywhere.
We got a Grinch one that, like, goes around the tree.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I think I'm going to buy a model train after we're done here.
You should.
Timu's got to have.
I'll help you put it together.
Yeah, I'll put it somewhere. I'll just have it chugging around.
No, when the kids move out, I'll have the train room and my grow room together. So I'm growing some weed, and my train's going around it. And,
around the weed.
There. That's
around
cool.
The
weed. Yeah. I could have a little train here, and it passes the bong around. That'd be fun.
We like trains too much.
We like trains. Refer to what episode did we watch?
Singularity.
Singularity, where we just the last 20 minutes of that episode, we're just watching train videos for an audio podcast. One of the worst decisions we've ever made. But still better than watching Singularity. Thank you, Mike. So, the Red Ryder 200-shot air rifle. I'm not going to do the whole spiel. If everyone wrote it down. Do you have the whole
I didn't write the whole thing.
Damn it. I wish. So,
Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle.
Hell yeah, thank you. Yeah. So, Red Ryder, I guess, is a character. I don't know if he was actual real. The Red Ryder, I think, is the man holding the gun.
I guess it's the name of the gun.
It's the name of the gun.
Because it had a red barrel.
It's called
a
Red Ryder.
Yeah.
Daisy Red Ryder.
Okay, so it's by Daisy is the brand. Daisy's I didn't see. Brand, that's the thing. If I heard Daisy first,
it's the model name of.
I got that.
Yeah.
But in the from my perspective, it was you see the poster. It's a man. And I thought his name was like Red Ryder, which could totally be a cowboy's name. And then it's a version of his gun that he uses on this popular radio show. Sure. And then when Ralphie thinks of himself as a cowboy, he's picturing himself as Red Ryder. That's how I thought of it in my whole head this whole time. Yeah. Even though when I've bought Red Ryder guns in the past. Yeah. So maybe in my mind, I never thought just Daisy was the
brand
or whatever that made the not official Red Ryders. So I go to Walmart. They're 20, 30 bucks Christmas time.
Yeah,
I usually buy them for white elephant gifts. I think it's a perfect white elephant present every single fucking time you bring a red. Although, some people have not enjoyed that. Like, I brought
there's
it to.
People are very anti-gun or whatever.
I know, dude.
Even
I brought,
BB guns, yeah.
I brought it to a white elephant party, like, for an improv team. And it was not well received.
Oh, California, yeah. I didn't think about that.
They
yeah.
did not receive that well. They were like, they opened up, they're like, ooh. Okay, yikes. And I was like, and I'm like leaning forward, hoping everyone else is in on the joke and loves it and stuff.
Yeah.
And nobody, dude.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah. I think one person ended up taking it semi-reluctantly. But fuck, dude, that's a cool gift.
Yeah.
Honestly, even just, you don't need to use it.
Yeah.
You just keep it in box if you really want to.
Put it up on the wall.
Put it up on the wall, hang it up over. It's like a funny little, just Christmas time. Put it where your stockings are, you know? Anyway, and I think they changed the new ones. I don't think are loaded the same way with the BBs down the thing.
No, I think you still now you load them in the top.
Top
you,
loader.
It's still pump.
It's
still
a
pump
top
action.
Loader pump action. Yeah. Anyway, I do think that that's a cool gift. He's reading the newspaper and it talks about an article where a guy swallows a yo-yo.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, why'd they put that in the paper? He's like, what do you mean that? That's newsworthy. And I was like, yeah, that is newsworthy.
My thought was like, nowadays it's the phones. Back then it was the papers.
Yeah.
So there's always something to distract people at the dinner table.
Exactly. Furnace.
Yeah.
I was like, what's a furnace fighter?
I just don't understand why the BB gun was so important. To the kid.
It's
what he wanted.
I know, but by the time I was that age, I had a slingshot. I had It's a glorified pea shooter. It was. It is. I mean, it's he's an old kid to be wanting a Red Ryder. Was this, my point.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he looks like he's 8 or 9.
He's like somewhere in that range.
I think he's 8. I think they say 8-year-old.
Yeah. I would have been on a 22 by then.
Well,
I'm serious. That's what I was wanting for my 8th birthday.
But I also think the state's different too, because you grew up in Texas,
right?
Where you learn about gun safety and all that at a young age. They were in like Illinois.
That's what I'm just saying. It was weird to me because he seemed old for wanting to be
BB gun. Yeah,
but I also think this is one of those things.
But the times could have been different. I'm talking about the 70s versus the
40s.
Yeah.
But I think
late 40s, early 50s.
I think what they're really just trying to demonstrate is the single-minded focus of
a child.
No matter what people keep telling him that this is a bad idea for him to want this thing, he wants it anyway. Maybe in the 40s, especially.
That's what I'm saying,
well,
maybe because of the time it was different.
You know what? Just post-war, I bet every boy just wanted gun stuff, war stuff, action stuff. That's why we saw Wind-Up Tank. You know, that's why, I mean, Ralphie still, or his little brother still got the, like, a fire truck. So, like, Zeppelin. He's still younger. He still wants, like, the, what's his name?
He got a Zeppelin, too.
Who's the little brother's name? I never caught it.
Oh, fuck. I forget it now.
Yeah.
Because Ralphie's the older one.
Now, unfortunately, I usually do my due diligence and watch, like, every Christmas Story thing. And I was going to watch Christmas Story 2, which I have not seen. But I did watch a little bit of
the play.
The live. The live musical. I watched when it came out. I watched it with what's his face from not Growing Pains. What would you do with the same attitude?
Is it Michael Bolton?
No, Wonder Years.
Oh, Wonder Years.
He's trying to do the theme. No, that was that's the theme. Okay, Wonder Years. Fred Savage.
Okay.
So Fred Savage played the older narrator, the narrator for Ralphie, as they did live. It was a live TV musical. So, like, it was airing live, and they were doing a musical for, I forgot what channel. But I watched it.
NBC
or whatever. Yeah, but, which I'm sure that channel now hates that we don't remember what it was. They probably put a lot of effort into it. Sorry, whatever BC you are.
Whichever channel it is that plays it 24 hours every year.
Oh, yeah, damn. Yeah. But no, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
It wasn't even
it wasn't Turner.
No, it would have been.
TMC Turner
TNT?
Or TCM? No, Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah,
there's no TCM.
Yeah, there is.
There is a TCM, but I think TNT was the Turner Network. Television.
That was also Turner.
Yeah,
there were several Turner networks.
Yeah, he owned a lot. Ted Turner owned a lot.
CNN.
CNN. Yeah.
Oh shit! I put Furnace Fighter, and I said, Mike, what's that? You know, like because I've never. Okay.
Had a furnace.
I guess it's just in the time when he said furnace fighter, I thought that was like a thing you were supposed to know.
Well, because like old, it's like old heating furnace. They used a furnace, like a wood fire furnace, like, you know, to heat the house.
Yeah, but the expression furnace fighter, I was like, what is that? I guess it's just, he keeps having to battle his own furnace.
Yeah.
You find that out.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was like, my note was, what is, and I had to ask the oldest person I know. So when the dad does his like string of obscenities, one of the ones includes "damn Dolly Wop dumb."
Yeah,
that's a weird.
He said he had to do gibberish, or otherwise it was impossible to do without swearing.
Oh, that's
funny.
And
he wanted to keep the PG rating.
That's funny. The director said that, or the actor?
The actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was that during the what scene was that? The
Well, every time he'd go down there to
bunch
do
of
it.
Time.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
The first, yeah. Then we get one of the most iconic scenes, which is the brother getting put up in all the jackets.
Can't put my arms down. Note for that was at 3 o'clock in the morning when I get home from work, if I want to sit outside and smoke a little bit, I wish I had that outfit. Because even if my arms are up, I could still bend them like this to do what I need to do.
So now, Mike, so far, I mean, we're still in the beginning here. This is your first time watching this movie all the way through?
All the way through, yeah.
You've maybe seen bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And so far, how are you feeling about this? So I was checking with you at the end, but I want to kind of check with you as we were going, because you said some stuff to me earlier this week that makes me a little sus about how you feel about Christmas Story. So.
Okay. I think you misinterpreted what I said.
Okay.
Because my feeling about Christmas Story is that And I even told you this at the time. I was very specific that I think maybe I've watched too many Christmas movies this year.
And that could be it, too.
And it feels almost, what's a little saccharine at this point in the movie. It feels a little, I know what's going to happen, even though I don't.
A little predictable.
A little predictable, a little saccharine.
I will say I don't feel like this is,
I think,
predictable.
This movie?
Yeah, because if you've never seen it, if you've never seen it,
yeah.
I would say there are some unpredictable moments. When he beats up Farkas.
Yeah, moments of comedy. When, but you know the plot of the movie is predictable. You know what's going to happen.
I wouldn't have guessed ending at a Chinese restaurant.
No, that's not plot.
Well, yeah, it's...
Plot is...
No, that's plot.
How because, you move a story along. It's not little points within the story. Wait, that's not plot.
No, the plot, but the I was just going to argue... I'll say this point here. That is plot. The fact that the ending takes place not at home with their dinner, it takes place at a Chinese restaurant, all because of Ralphie, because he went outside and he opened up the door and let the dogs in and they ruined dinner. That's a plot point. That's the ending of the movie. It's every so Ralphie gets what he wants, fucks up immediately, ruins dinner again, and ends up, and that's the ending. So that was unpredictable had you not seen it before. You're supposed to be surprised. You're supposed to think they're going to have their family dinner, everything gets fucked up, and then you go see Chinese dinner.
Yes,
so
you can pick one or two things that aren't predictable out of the movie. I'm not saying that. That's not my point. That's not what I mean when I say predictable. I mean predictable the same way that, you know, when we saw the first Star Wars. After that, every Star Wars movie, you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah. You kind of get the plot.
You get the plot before you see the movie.
Okay. And that's because, I guess, you have Christmas overload.
I think it's because of Christmas overload. That's what I'm saying. We watched this as like one of our last movies of 15 or 16 or 25 or 700 movies. I'm not sure what it is now. Because, I'll just give you an example. Yesterday, Home Alone, I was watching.
Yeah.
But you realize once you start watching Home Alone, and if you want to emulate your leader, I ended up watching like 7 or 8 hours of Home Alone last night.
Oh, did you watch more than two?
Yes.
You watched 3 and 4?
We'll get into that when we do our
episode. So I'm just saying, that's the way this whole last 2 months has gone. So a little bit of this predictability becomes because most Christmas movies are kind of the same.
They have the same formula.
It's a formula.
Well, then I would hope that your grade is not affected by your Christmas jadedness.
My grade is whatever my grade is, and it's none of your business.
Well, I mean, it is, at the end, 100% my business, because I'm going to write it down, and we're going to use it to go up against other grades. But I would just hope that your jaded, anti-Christmas, Grinch, Scrooge heart doesn't affect an otherwise delightful Christmas movie. So,
okay, wait. Here, I'll give you a better explanation. Yeah. Equivalent to a fruitcake. This movie's a fruitcake. It's overly sweet. It's full of unwanted nuts. And nobody likes it as much as they pretend to. And don't tell me that's not true. Both of you don't like it as much as you pretend to. If you actually watch this movie with a critic's eye versus just your childhood eye.
Michael, I watch everything with the same eyes, and it is to tear apart the internalized universe that a movie creates and see all the flaws and everything. Trust me when I tell you, I watch everything. Look at what I've done to other movies watch our Goonies episode and tell me that I don't watch.
Just saying you're more forgiving on Christmas movies. That's all. Yeah. You can disagree if you want, but you're more forgiving of Christmas movies than other movies. And I don't know why that is. I'm not even making a judgment.
Because
on it.
I rank them against other Christmas movies. I don't rank them against movies as a whole. I put horror movies in the same book. I put horror movies against other horror movies.
Yeah.
I put documentaries in the same thing. I would rank documentaries against each other if you wanted to do that. But but then if you go with like movies, if the general term movies that if you take Christmas out, if you take horror out, and if you took, I guess, romance and romantic comedy out, because I also consider that to be its own category to real, then I'm just talking drama, action, comedy are the three big ones that I would put all in the same category of movies. That's what I would judge
so
on.
So then let's just as a curiosity,
Gladiator versus Hangover,
right? you'll do that, but you won't do Gladiator versus this, is my point.
Well, yeah.
See, that's sort of my point, is what I'm saying. I think you rank these movies against each other, and I don't get that. So if you're to say your first top 10 movies of all time, how do you even do that if you're taking these other movies and putting them in different categories?
Oh, no, because you Christmas Stories, I mean, absolutely top 10 movies of all time, Christmas movies.
No. All-time top 10 movies.
Christmas movies.
No. Okay.
It's own thing.
I understand what you're doing. You're saying they don't count as movies.
Ask me. It's like, ask me what my favorite song is. It's so hard because it's like, sure, what's my favorite rap song? What's my favorite rock song? Yeah. What's my favorite, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't do that.
You can't make a list of your top 10
What's my favorite
songs?
Game? Yeah. It's like, I could say Final Fantasy VIII because it's like nostalgia or whatever, but like, maybe The Last of Us. Maybe it was one of the later Final Fantasies. It's like, in the moment,
sure,
things feel like a top whatever. Yeah. Like, I just watched Gladiator 2, and I'm like, fuck, dude, that might be a top. You know, like,
right,
the Gladiator series, which I've, it's like, whatever I'm not, because we only exist in whatever we remember. It's like, we're just a bag of meat that it contains memories,
sure,
that we just then act upon those memories. We're just animals, right? So, if I don't remember a movie, it's not in my top 10.
Sure.
If I forget Gladiator existed until I saw a preview for Gladiator 2, even though I loved Gladiator, now I'm reminded of Gladiator. I remember, oh, shit.
That was pretty good, right.
There's paper towels. Gladiator, bless you. Gladiator is one of my tops, right? So fucking good. Yeah. But then what else am I forgetting? Oh, wait, then there's Goodfellas. Right. Whoops, forgot about that one. That's a fucking phenomenal movie. Sure. Fight Club just popped in my head. And then, so if I'm in the mood for Christmas,
right,
which I am now,
yeah,
now my top 10s are all Christmas based. So with the Christmas magic, mm-hmm, with the Christmas spirit, with the Christmas feeling, with the Christmas nostalgia, I'm not pretending to love this movie. I watch it for the saccharine, for the sweet, sure, for the, like, it doesn't cuss. It feels like this is a movie.
But if a non-Christmas movie was made the same way, you wouldn't like it, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know. I know that Meet the, Finkelmans or whatever? That was sort of, I never watched it, but the Steven Spielberg one, he did it. I don't know if it was, it had the same kind of sweet feeling as this. I'm not sure. Right. I never watched it. But, like, I don't know. Actually,
that's
for
all
me,
doing,
Mike,
yeah,
I'll still watch every now and then an episode of Happy Days because, sure, I want that. Like, I just listened to a Fred Hardy. I just listened to the Hardy Boys mystery the other day. I wanted to, the 1927, sure, Hardy Boys. That's just, it's this. It's a,
yeah,
PG, like, oh,
yeah.
Oh boy, Frank! Like, well, you know, like, what should we go do today? You know, it's like, and I'll do that just to get out of.
I literally watched The Rifleman the other day, so I 100% understand.
Yeah, there's a, and maybe I like DNA is passed down from my mom, because my mom, she is obsessed with this, like, with classic movies, right? Give her a black and white romance, you know, a Marilyn Monroe, you know, like one of those, and she's just in heaven. And she has her little Christmas village out every year. So my mom really, when I watch this, I think of her, I think of spending my childhood home, because she very much wanted our childhood Christmases to be very Norman Rockwell-esque, you know, like.
So we're not that dissimilar. It's just that I admit it up front. I'm just up front about it. It's like I told you before, or actually we were talking while you were in the kitchen earlier.
Yeah.
Behind my back?
Kind of. Not really. Well, yeah, literally, because you were facing the other way. You were at the sink. So, yes, I guess it was behind your back. But we were talking about it earlier. It's like I go through and I tear it all apart. As in my written review, I just tear this movie apart, right? And then I gave it a B-.
Sure.
So it's the same thing. I like the feeling it gives me, but that does not necessarily make it a good movie.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, wait. I mean, but then there are things that make it a good movie in my mind, which we'll get to.
I'm not saying there's
First
bad.
Off. Scott Farkas is the best, one of the best movie villains of all time.
Yeah.
He's iconic. He's scary for little kids, but like
he
as an adult.
Eyes.
Yeah, he had yellow eyes. the other one had a purple teeth or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I love it. And you can see he doesn't have yellow eyes.
No.
But I also like the, here's the thing. It's like one of my favorite scenes in movie history is Ralphie beating the shit out of Scott Farkas.
Yeah.
I love that scene more than
That's
almost
thing,
like.
Yeah.
I love a good bully gets his comeuppance. Right, there's a video that I watch at least once a year of this fat kid, a real life video that someone recorded of this fat kid, this like I mean, it's like grade school. It's probably young high school or eighth grade or whatever. And there's this fat kid. And this little fucking dude is just like punking him, right? Like, yeah, you fucking fat, you know, whatever. Like, and he's been punking him and punking him for a while. And he hits him or something. And the fat kid just snaps, picks this kid up, and just fucking slams him onto the ground. The kid just fucking lays there. And he gets up and he just starts wobbling. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I don't want kids to get hurt. But at the same time, bullies need to get their comeuppance.
Yeah, teach them to not be a bully.
Yeah, listen to my review of, oh, God, what was that?
I was going to say, of all the movies we've watched, that scene's been in about six of these movies in the last few weeks. So.
The bully scenes.
The bully scenes, yeah. Very common in these.
See, I don't know. This time watching it has been a little bit different. It's probably the first full watch through since having kids.
Sure.
And so it's a little bit different now. Yeah, I kind of view it from the parents' perspective more than the kids, and I kind of noticed more about the parents than you did before. Like, the mom's a really good mom, good caring mom. And, like, even though they kind of show them almost slightly estranged, they're not. They're really, like,
it's
together.
It's day-to-day life.
It's day-to-day life. It's normal when you have kids. Yeah. You have, like, other shit going on. Yeah. Each of you is doing your own thing to try to move the family along. And, like, that was kind of a cool perspective. I mean, I noticed that, you know,
the dad trying to get his one little thing.
His one little thing, the leg lamp.
Yeah,
exactly. He's so happy about it. And she's like, no.
Did he win that from word search?
I don't know if it was the word search or if it was something else.
It felt like the word search.
It had to
You can win up to $50,000. He talked very much about like winning something. And then he says, I won. It's my major award.
Yeah.
I love the fucking standing on the street. It's my major award. And all the other people just being like, oh, yeah, it's his major award. That was so good.
Well, one thing I noticed this watch too that I never noticed before, they have every night except for the Christmas dinner, they have meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and cabbage. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no wonder the youngest doesn't want to eat. It's you have the same fucking dinner every night. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to eat either.
Something else to know, though, I think that's fairly accurate.
That is for the time, yes.
For the time.
Yeah, because that's what you could afford.
Post-war.
Yeah. That's
I mean, they
how
were
it was.
Just, but the thing is,
isn't it
they
funny
were
though
living...
that meatloaf used to be cheap, and now it's like the most expensive
now it's
thing
crazy.
You can make.
I hate meatloaf.
I love meatloaf.
Yeah.
I love meatloaf so much. Because this is post war. Mm-hmm. They were just living on rations not that long ago. Not rations, but.
Yeah, that's
rations. Oh, yeah, rations.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Was it your birth year or your birth month that decided when you went to the store?
I don't know, but there was I know it was a thing where you could get so much bread, so much butter.
Yeah, but you were told when you could go to the store. So, like, if you were born on an even-numbered month, you can go to the store on, like, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you were born on odd number of months, it was, like, Mondays and Wednesdays. And then, like...
I do remember them doing that with gasoline.
Yeah, that was in the 70s, right?
Yeah,
the gas
I remember
shortage.
That when we had to... It depended on what your last number on your license plate was.
Oh, wow.
Even or odd. You could go on the other days.
These days.
Oh, then maybe that's what I'm thinking of for groceries, too, then. I knew it was an even and odd thing. I don't know if it was birth years. In my mind, I was thinking license plate before you said license plate. So maybe it was license plate then, too. But I don't know if enough people owned cars.
Yeah,
they
probably
must have.
Not. Yeah.
I don't know. It had to be something universal. Because if, like, you walked in there, what were they going to be like? What's your license plate number, kid? I don't have a car. I just want to buy some bread, sir. Well, sorry, this is for car owners only. Go home.
I'm assuming back then everybody didn't even have ID. Because if you didn't drive, you didn't need a license.
Yeah. Dario pointed this out last night as we were hanging out. As I'm playing Assassin's Creed Mirage lately, you can just rip wanted posters off the wall, and it lowers your notoriety in that area. Which kind of makes sense, because Joe Rogan pointed out, and Dario saw this, and he tells me, he goes, like, yeah, if you're just back then, like, in back then time, you could walk into a town, do some murders, probably.
Yeah.
If you're,
and
then
the
if you're
town.
Not
oh, yeah.
if you're not caught then there and you get away with it, GTA style, is you get to, like, another state over and shave your beard and cut your hair, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, it's like no one ever knows. Like,
one of the other movies we watched this week taught me how easy it was to do credit card fraud back in the day.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
or check fraud or any of that. Like, you know, all of that.
Even in the 90s, I had a friend who like a real hacker friend.
You know,
like,
every time you say I had a friend, people think it's you, right?
No, I wasn't. I was a kid, dude. I was probably 10, but this dude was a serious hacker. Like in the mid-90s, he had a machine that pulled credit card numbers offline, and he could write them down. He could place orders over the phone using other people's credit cards. I don't know if he ever did it or not, but I remember he showed it to me, and I was, like, blown away. It was, like, this cool computer thing. He also was one of the first people sending viruses to people in emails. He, like, built viruses in code. And all the money that he had, he put into a fund that he...
this is for when I go to jail.
Yeah. No, it was called his death ray fund, and I think he legit wanted to build an actual death ray. I think he had the plans in mind.
So he was trying to become a evil villain.
Yeah. And I think he was only a teenager at the time.
Damn.
He's super smart. Like, where'd he end up? Smart. Oh, I don't know. Well, I mean, I kind of do, but I don't want to say anything more.
San Quentin.
I'll just to protect his identity. I think he's somewhere in Spain right now. Just he's a surfer. They'll never find him.
He's in a country that doesn't extradite.
Yeah. Wherever Andrew Tate went.
Yeah.
So you've been looking at your notes.
My next note was because we're about to get to the scene where like Ralphie's having his daydream about the writing the paper for the teacher and the teacher grading it. And my next note was Andy's the teacher grading it when it comes to movies. Hey, plus.
Just going extra?
Just extra, yeah.
That's great, yeah. Because I do be changing changing shit. Sorry, I was almost thinking about just giving this one regardless a Christmas tree at a whatever. Who gives a shit? Yeah. It's a Christmas tree out of just whatever. That's our grading. I don't know. I'm going to take a hit, though, so somebody better have some thoughtful insights.
Well, I do. I have one thoughtful insight. Honestly, the thing that saved this movie for me and made me really enjoy it was the narration.
I love the narration of it.
And I think, and then when I researched it and figured out why, I figured out why it was so good. It's narrated by the writer of the story.
Of the book that the movie was based off of?
Okay. Oh, it is a Gene Shepard.
It's a book.
It's based on a book, yes.
Interesting.
And Gene Shepard, who wrote the book, did the narration for the movie.
That's cool.
I didn't know he did the narration. That's awesome.
So
that's very cool. And
I think it made a difference.
Yeah, because it's him telling the story. Yeah. It's probably a real life. It's probably
It also means that the author got obviously a lot of input.
Yes.
Versus a lot of times these things when their books turn into movies.
I love when an author gets a lot of input. Just like HBO is bringing back J.K. Rowling for all of her.
I don't know. I mean,
they are. I was being
for the Harry
I was
Potter
being
show.
A little bit like because it's so problematic.
Well, but I can separate. But, see, it's like I can still listen to a Michael Jackson song.
HBO is giving her a lot of input. A lot. She's with casting and stuff and all that stuff.
Right. I think that's important in a.
Yeah.
I will say this: Dollars to Donuts. I bet anyone out there on YouTube, no trans people in the new Harry Potter HBO
probably
series.
Not.
Yeah. Just a thought. Just a thought. However you feel about whatever.
Or possibly that's 2025, not allowed to live in the United States anymore. We're not sure yet.
We don't know what's going to happen. Honestly, this isn't even, this is just facts.
We just don't know.
We don't know what the future holds. It could be anything. But I do know that the future is not going to have trans people in the new Harry Potter Warner Brothers TV show. Because if J.K. Rowling has anything to say about it. Yeah, so we got Ralph is a pretty good brother. He helping his brother up. He's never like too mean. He doesn't like bully him. His little brother, does he say anything or is it all just noises?
No, he has a couple lines.
Because it usually has like this whine or whatever.
He's his kid brother.
Yeah.
Well, he has the after the fight scene when he's hiding under the sink and he's crying. He's like, Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and I don't want to eat or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that pig scene, though. Show me how the piggy eats. It's so fucking gross.
But it's kind of true. You have kids that are, like, stubborn about shit. Like, this morning, while I was eating cereal, like, my youngest, he's got his brother's workout gloves on, so they're fingertipless gloves, and he's eating his cereal, and he's spilling milk on the table, and he's lapping it up like a dog, and he's like, I'm a doggy. Really, dude? Like, it's like too early to be making this big of a mess. Like, come on. So that's 100% accurate.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay, well then they nail it. I think the teacher grabbing all the teeth Like, after everyone, they pulled that little prank, and everyone took their teeth out of their mouth and put it in your hand. Fuck that. If I were that teacher, Brendan, I would not be touching all of these just been in their mouth teeth. That is disgusting.
Germs weren't that bad back
then. Germs were still germs.
Yeah, they didn't know about a lot of the things. Yeah, that's what caused.
We get
probably why they look older. Germs.
Sure, a lot more germs. Cooties.
Cooties. Cooties age you.
Polio.
Polio.
Who knows?
So we get one of the most iconic Christmas movie parts ever, which is sticking the tongue to the pole. Where he gets triple dog dared. Now, I wonder if this is where the double dog, triple dog, I double dog dare you kind of originated from.
Not at all.
Because
it was out long before that.
Way before.
Yeah, like kids were doing it. Kids were doing it.
Oh, well, maybe
in
the
40s,
though. Maybe they're going back to when it did originate in the 40s.
This is when it came back.
Yeah, I'm not saying the movie originated. I'm saying like the at time era.
I think it's when it brought it back because I think it died off. And then the 80s, it probably picked back up again late 80s.
Oh, no, but like in the 40s. Oh, okay. So you think maybe like.
The movie brought it back.
Things kind of trend. Yeah. They up and down.
Maybe
things.
People weren't double dog daring until they rewatched this. And they're like, oh, that's something they used to do. Let's do that again. Because I remember double dog daring people.
It's like my sign off of my written. It's like, which is bend over, by the way, my pen name. Everybody knows that. But it's Ben, get off my lawn, Dover, once got his tongue stuck to a frozen pole in 1972 and still refuses to lick anything colder than room temperature. His wife says this explains a lot about their marriage. My editor's note on the end of my
That's great. That's good. You can. What's the website?
Bendover.com.
Bendover.com. I can't believe you got Bendover.com.
Yeah.
That's crazy. No one had Bendover.com until Mike came into the space. How?
I don't know.
How?
This is only like 6 months ago, too. Yeah. So I don't
There's got to be a man named Ben Dover.
You would think so, wouldn't
in
you?
In the fucking world, that would be like, oh, this is a funny name I can get a website for, probably make something. Insane.
Or there was never a porn star named Ben Dover.
Come on. You're absolutely right. There's absolutely porn star named Ben Dover, probably. Yeah.
If there is, that's probably every visitor I get. It's just somebody looking for that. And they get these weird-ass Christmas movie reviews.
What the fuck is this?
A lot of similes and comparisons in this guy's work. Why does he compare Christmas Story to a fruitcake? Yeah, fuck.
Who knew this porn star was
otherwise
so insightful? Who knew the porn star was so insightful?
Yeah, God, meanwhile, just bend over. Somewhere in the world pissed.
Who stole my identity?
Leaving him stuck to the pole was fucked up.
The bell rang.
I know, but leaving to I think that one of the funnier things is when they're trying to act not guilty, right? Or when all the kids first realize what's happening, they hear what's going on outside, they all run to the window, and Ralph and his buddy are just sitting at their desk, like, just kind of casually, like, what? What's that? What's happening or whatever? They're just kind of sitting there being totally suspect. So funny. So good. That was just an attention to detail I fucking absolutely love. And then Scott Farkas, we meet, who's a fucking just asshole.
I love when his brother falls down, and he just lays there, and he's just there. He just doesn't move.
Plays dead. And then we get Scott Farkas as a transition effect, where it just, anytime we need to do a transition from one place to another, it's them running and Scott Farkas and chasing them. Yeah. And at one point, the brother chasing after them. So they have no interest in beating up the little brother, which I like.
Yeah,
he's too young. Yeah. It's like they don't give a shit. All they're doing is say uncle. That's not anything ridiculous. I don't like the arm behind the back thing. Although it is funny when the friend puts his arm behind his back automatically when he walks up to Scott. He's like, all the friends leave him again. It's the other friend, not Flick, but the other friend when Ralphie and all them leave Scott Farkas and him, and he goes. And he like walks over and he puts his arm behind his back and like walks into like Scott.
It's like uncle.
Yeah, it's like uncle. It's pretty great.
Was that Schwartz? Is that who that friend was?
Yeah, so it had
not
to be the
Flick. It had to be Schwartz.
Yeah. Schwartz, is that his name?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Poor Schwartz.
Poor Schwartz, dude.
I wrote it twice. Poor Schwartz. Like, and then I went on a thought, like, I was high, so I was like, think of them the next day at school, just like, oh man, like, how did yours come out? Like, I don't know, I just got my ass beat. I don't know why. Like, I just got the shit kicked out of me. Oh man, I had to eat soap. Like, you know,
like, the phone. When you hear the mom
what?
Go, what? What? Shit, then you hear sports go, what? What's happening? I'm just picturing this kid. He's just in his room doing homework.
Yeah, he's doing his little decoder.
Shakes the fucking door in and just starts beating the shit out of him.
For no reason.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
When the mom, of course, knows that he definitely heard that language from his father. Like, his dad's down there every day using that language.
The mom listening and just hanging up. Just yeah. Doing, oh, fuck. What have I done?
Yeah. I'm a monster.
I'm a monster. She knows she fucked up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was so good. Fuck. Show me how the piggies eat. Fuck. Fragile.
Yes.
I think that's fragile, hon.
Yeah.
I like that. Leg limp. Oh, man. So... what I like about this movie is in any other movie, he opens up the big crate, he throws all the paper out, it's a leg lamp. He's pissed. It's Chevy Chase at the end of Christmas Vacation with his bonus check. It's Bill Murray getting mad and whatever. It's like, this is what I win? I get a fucking leg lamp? What I like about this, he fucking loves it. It's the greatest thing he's ever seen.
Well,
he puts it up on display.
It's a lamp.
Like, it's a leg, and then, oh well, it's a lamp, isn't it? And then he lights it up, and then I think he was excited because I don't know if he knew the leg itself lit up, or well, because there wasn't a bulb, so it had to be. But I have currently leg lights. It's a string of the little leg lamps,
like Christmas
that
lights.
Christmas lights that you put up. I put up around Christmas time.
My dad has one it's an ornament, but like it's got a hole in the top of it that you put one of your lights in and it lights the whole thing
up.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. I've always wanted, I mean, I'm not, the thing is that a real leg lamp, probably expensive.
Probably. Yeah.
Just like I wanted those little moose cups from Christmas Vacation.
Those you can get from like Ross or something like that for cheap and they're plastic.
Sure. I even looked online, but it's still like 20, 30 bucks.
That's not that bad.
Are you looking at, okay, Mike's cost. Looking up. He'll tell us what the cost of a leg lamp is. But I do love that he loves it. I like that little twist. Because even I've seen this before, and even in my mind, I was remembering him like, or like maybe thinking like, oh, he's going to be initially mad, and then he'll just put it up regardless. What is it?
Well, they're anywhere from $86.50 to $239.99.
Damn. What's the Amazon. Is there an official, like?
No.
Now, I wonder if that's just because of the time of year.
I don't know. Because I haven't ever looked it up before.
Yeah, exactly.
Used versus new?
No, they're all new. It's just probably
size.
Chinese versus American.
Size.
Well,
size.
A real one. Talking
porcelain or...
Now, if I was paying $200 or whatever, I'd want it to come in that fragile box. And I would use that wood for something at some point. For the
that
zombie apocalypse for Windows.
Yeah, that must be Italian.
It's great.
Fragile. It must be Italian. Oh, it's 6:45, hon. Your little orphan Annie's about to start. What show starts at 6:45?
Yeah,
that's insane.
Radio
that's
shows.
Radio shows.
Yeah,
I get maybe.
Yeah, they're short.
You got.
I hate to tell you this, but television used to be that way.
Yeah,
15-minute blocks.
Yeah,
well, less than that, because I remember for a long time at 6:40. 6:40 is when I was a kid. What was the Disney thing? Shit, it was like
oh,
it was an
Mickey
hour
Mouse
long.
Club.
No, there was an hour long Disney show on Sunday nights.
The World of Disney,
the Wonderful World of Disney.
Wonderful World of Disney
started at 6:40 for years.
That's what?
Crazy. Because the way there was like football or whatever on before that, and then it's just how it always came and something, and then the news ran to 6:40.
Yeah,
that's
that
crazy
in time. And then that's
not
because
normal.
That's where the news started coming at before 10.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, news came on at 10 where I live. And the local news.
Yeah.
And so then it would come on at 9:40 on Sunday nights. It was the only night it was different. It was Sunday nights because
football and shit.
Their thing was 20 minutes off.
Oh, yeah.
That's
just.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good history lesson to learn. I just thought it was interesting that 6:45 is when Little Orphan Annie started.
It was weird even then, though. I mean, saying it was weird.
Because I listened to the radio when I was a kid too, because I didn't have a TV in my room. So like at night, I would have my little FM radio, and I would put on a K Rock, do like the, you know, top 9 at 9 or whatever they did.
I like Coast to Coast, George Noria.
Oh my God. Well. Yeah. Oh, before George Noria was way better.
Oh, before George Noria was, I forget, but that was, they had a few different ones that they would do, but I always love when they talk about, like, the ghosts and aliens and shit like that.
Yeah, I listen to that every night.
That's great.
I think I just
It came on right after Dr. Demento, actually. Which I also listened to.
I don't think I listened to that.
No Dr. Demento?
No. There's a.
Oh, you would love Dr. Demento.
We had a local.
I listened to Loveline. Loveline was cool.
Loveline, yeah.
Dr. Drew and, Adam Carolla at first.
I'm just surprised you don't know about Dr. Demento.
Well, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never listened to him.
That one I haven't listened to either.
Comedy songs.
Comedy songs?
Yeah, he looks weird. Does he have a cape?
Yeah, he always wore a cape.
So every one of Ralph's daydreams, the people are in like frontier clothing. And then I put, like Red Ryder, thinking like the character Red Ryder, but it's not. It's more like Little Orphan Annie, which is the show that he's obsessed with. The whole time he's Little Orphan Annie this, Little Orphan Annie that, which
I guess in the 40s that would make sense.
Yeah, so every time, because the nostalgia for, or at least the time periods that he was probably reading about or in school, like the adventures that he would hear Little Orphan Annie go on were all taking place in like, late 1800s or early 1900s,
right?
Because there's usually like a gap, like you know, because you're not listening to stories about the 20s.
Like
what was going on in the 20s?
The Great Depression, Little Orphan Annie was going on in the 20s. That's when Little Orphan Annie said. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but it's still front. But people were still frontier times
around
the country
where you lived.
Yeah, if you weren't in a big city, you were frontier, and you were.
The 20s out here would have been rough.
Yeah, you'd have a. Like a raccoon hat and like a like skin fur jacket or whatever.
20s out here, weren't they pining for gold?
Yeah, gold miners,
gold mining,
gold
silver.
Yeah,
gold. And then we get the fudge. But I didn't say fudge. I love that. That's so good. As a kid, you watch that, and it's like if you know, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things where it's like they sort of put it in your mind, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't say it at all.
Nope.
But you definitely, every person watching this movie thinks of the word fuck when he says it, which I love. I love that they put that in there. The Dakota ring being like a typical letdown bullshit fucking bullshit. Yeah.
I put that, I want to look to see if they still do that stuff and, like, do one with my kids just to fuck with them. They don't?
No.
Damn.
Because when I was a kid, we used to get stuff out of the back of comic books.
Okay.
And then, I went, actually, just a few weeks ago, last time we were in Vegas, I went to the comic book store and looked in the back of all the comic books.
The back of my comic books, there was this little pyramid scheme for kids that I got into. Where you go and you sell magazines door to door, magazine subscriptions door to door, to get prizes, right?
That's awesome.
And one of the big prizes was like a submarine. Submarine.
Submarine.
I don't think it worked.
Yeah,
I don't think I could take it to the lake and submerge it. I don't think it was a submersible, but. Now I think that.
Yeah.
At the time, I thought,
you're going to the lake, dude. Yeah.
I'm going to go. This is going to be sick. I'm going to take this to the ocean. I'll be the coolest kid in the world.
I'm going to go see the Titanic.
I'm going to go, I'm just going to live down there. Yeah. Just send me food via flounder. But I did that, and I think the best prize that I got was like a industrial-sized box of those cowtails. Candy that kind of suck.
Oh no.
I mean, no, I say kind of sucks. I do enjoy them cowtails if you want to sponsor us.
It's not a submarine.
Submarine, but cowtails, the candy.
Yeah.
But it's those, you know what it is? It's like a nougat strip.
Inside caramel outside.
And caramel inside, and then you chew it. It's like almost like a whatchamacallit, but Not as good?
Yeah. It's absolutely nothing like a whatchamacallit. Literally, not one ingredient is shared.
Wait, what do you mean?
One ingredient.
What?
Whatchamacallit is like nougat and peanuts. And
I forgot that it's peanut butter.
Yeah. It's not even close to the same thing.
It's been a while since I've had a whatchamacallit, for being honest.
Yeah. I'd say the closest thing is like the Nerds rope or the Laffy Taffy rope, just not
but not fruity.
Not
yeah.
fruity, yeah. Yeah.
That's a better call.
Yeah.
Well, this will go down as my defeat. People will talk about 1 hour and 15 minutes in where Andy was a fucking moron.
No candy.
I didn't know what a whatchamacallit was. But I definitely knew what fucking cowtails were, and I had that shit for
free. I still get them once in a while. They're good. You see them, you say 15 cents on the bottom shelf, you know, a little
yeah,
one.
Yeah. It's funny. You say free.
Oh,
I say it cost me hours of my life and neighborhood. That
How many magazines did you sell?
No idea. Enough to get a fucking big box of cowtails.
It's like
which
10.
I think I splurged on because I was like, well, at this rate, I'll have the submarine in a couple of months. I'll just get some cowtails now. Those sound delicious. Should have tasted them. We should have went to the store and got a cowtail first. I just thought, I didn't know what they were. I was like, oh, cowtails? It's like milky. I like milk. Let's go.
Let's go.
And then I, like everything in life, yeah, I quit. Which is, by the way, this is the last of our episodes of Pride Rest Podcast. No. I just quit, gave up, and never got my submarine. Never. I just watch The Hunt for Red October every nice. Every summer.
That's funny.
And I pretend. Schwartz getting his ass kicked. Yep, that's the best one. And then just the Dakota ring. That was funny. Beating up Farkas. So, him crying after beating up Farkas and being in such a rage, an inconsolable rage, very realistic.
Yeah.
The mom coming, just go upstairs, lay down, like, just relax, okay? Because, like, you've been through a lot. And then covering for him at the table, like, oh, Ralphie got into a fight. Oh, well, how's the game or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, that was very cool. Like, very, like, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
And then, whoa, did I just see Mickey Mouse get beat up by the crew of Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
What an insane thing that I forgot was in this fucking movie. I'm like, okay, cool. Wait, Wizard of... Oh, look, it's Mickey. Oh, all right, we're going to see some Mickey. And then Wizard of Oz crew, they just start beating the shit out of him. Sort of.
And that scene I also noticed, like, for the first watch through this time was one kid's absolutely loving the parade, where the other one's like, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here. This sucks. That is very accurate, yes. too.
Okay.
If you have two children... They don't agree on anything.
No. One wants to stay. The other's like, let's go. This sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have siblings.
It takes us an hour to figure out where we're going to eat dinner
exactly.
many times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the worst.
Sure. I have siblings. We've disagreed.
Yes.
When he gets... So, I love the... Well, I don't love it. Then we get the commercialized Christmas part of Christmas Story where they're just...
Oh,
the Santa scene. I completely skipped that part in my head. Yeah. Weird. I bet you that was like a cool use of the camera, giving us that like up close weird
POV, the first POV shot.
I'll tell you this though.
Well, not the first, but
yeah. Well, not yeah, but it was a cool POV shot. But
yeah.
You know what I hate is the depiction of mall Santas. That's one of the things Christmas movies get wrong.
Well, maybe that's how they were back then. I've never experienced one like that in our time, but I think that's also. By the time, you know, we were kids, you know, 90s, throughout the 90s, that's kind of when it was, they were doing more background checks, things
sure.
like that, making sure these weren't creeps.
But here's the thing.
And actually paying these guys versus them volunteering.
Karens have been around since the beginning of time. And I think the moment a kid comes down and says, he was mean to me or whatever, you're going to have a parent complaining. And no store wants to have a Santa that's a dick to kids and... The parents don't like it, right?
Yeah.
Like that will
sure.
like we're just talking realistically here. If you had a store here in Bullhead, even in the 40s,
yeah.
If there was a store here and like people went and the Santa was like, "What do you want, kid?" Like, and then the elves like, "Yeah, hurry up!" And then they're like, "All right, whatever. You're getting a how about a football?" And then throws them down a slide. The mom be like, what just happened up there? Are you okay? They're just bawling their eyes. Well, Santa screamed at me. And you just watch every kid screaming, coming down the thing. That's not how a Santa visit should go. By the way, who puts a Santa at the top of a fucking slide that infants can't go down? Isn't the whole point to put your infant on a Santa's lap to get a picture of, like, your little kid, infant upwards? But, like,
kids get scared of Santa in general. Like,
yeah, listen, I get that.
I get it because... I mean, I'm a little scared of Santa, too, myself. Mall Santa, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, not real Santa, whatever, but...
The thing that drove me
is, you have to be really fucking dumb, which is a kid.
Yeah.
You have to be really fucking dumb to not know that that's not really Santa.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. Wait, we were at the other mall a minute ago, and Santa was there, and now we're here, and there's another
parade.
Santa there.
Yeah.
So little kids aren't that fucking stupid.
No. No.
Okay? Wait,
what age... Well, hold on. We have internet now. Okay. Let's go 40s. How old do you think a kid would be before they would make those kind of realizations?
Six?
Five, six?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ralphie's little brother fully thinks it's Santa.
Yeah.
Ralphie
should know better.
Eight years old. Maybe he's a little naive at that age. Some kids probably went to 8 or 9, you got to think, before like a friend had to politely tell them or like take them aside and be like, bro,
I'm pretty sure
there's no Santa.
I don't know. When you're six, even if you're shopping and you're in Macy's and there's Macy's Santa Claus and you go down the escalator from Macy's and out in the middle of the mall, you've only gone, you know, 5 minutes and there's another fucking Santa.
It's him demonstrating his ability to move faster than
you can explain that
and
to
he
a
looks
5-year-old.
Different.
Yeah. Well, son, this is what I think happens with Santa. I think that he folds time and space in a corridor, and he lines up everybody's house, and he puts them all into one shot so he can deliver every present instantaneously, and he calls that corridor the chimney. And so when he goes down the chimney, this is my
theory. And now he also does it for the 6 weeks before Christmas in every mall in the country.
When he should be working.
Yeah. But that's fine. It's that's what quantum mechanics, that's what quantum physics is all about. So
my problem with the Santa scene is the parents just dropping the kids off, just like, all right, watch each other, and they go do their shopping, which is what they have to do, but like I would never like just
forties
different, yes, but fuck no. Like
I mean
still,
you just drop your kid off at a mall and...
Although there's a theory that it's been the same since the 40s. That there's just as many people getting kidnapped. There's just no news.
Yeah. We didn't know about it.
It was all the same.
Just as many missing children.
Just as many scumbags out there in the 40s as there are now.
Because we don't have 24-hour news.
No.
They didn't have 24-hour news. So kid goes missing might make the newspaper some point.
2 days later, right?
Yeah. But like, so you're right. This wouldn't be a, so maybe realistically, this was a terrible idea. Yeah. They shouldn't have left their kids in the lab. Also, terrible Santa, just fucking awful. Why take a job that you're going to be a dick to people about? It's just,
I don't know, Andy, you tell us.
I've never taken a job where I was I've only had, let's see.
Oh, we were just talking about the podcast, sorry.
Oh, where I'm just a dick to people? Yep. I thought you meant specifically children. I was like, I've never been a dick to children specifically. I've had one job where I had to teach chess to children after school.
Older children.
They were middle or elementary school. Oh. It was like a after school program. We did three things. It was comic books was one class that we taught, which is my favorite. Where you would just teach the kid, every kid would make their own comic book, which was a lot of fun. And then there was improv, which was, actually I forgot, that was my favorite, where I got to teach the kids improv and stuff. And then the third one was chess, and unfortunately you have to do all three, whatever they needed you to do. And I sort of lied and said I'm decent at chess.
Not?
Bruh. Here's the thing. I understand how the pieces move. I do not understand the
strategy.
Any if you told me to do a this is the Irishman opening or whatever, I'd be like, great. Yeah. I'm done. I don't know what thank you for playing Grandmaster. I will leave now. I will say that there's a funny meme that I just saw of two female chess players, because I do follow there's a couple of female chess players that are doing more social media stuff, and they're trying to bring more attention to the sport, and so they're like to the game, I guess, and so they're doing like cool like here's an all women's tournament and stuff, because there's no women grand masters like in the ever.
No, there's one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Or what? No, but there's not. I mean, there might. No, sorry, there's one, but there's no. They always talk about like, could a woman beat the top guy or whatever? Yeah. And a lot of the times,
for a long time, it wasn't.
But even a lot of the times, the women say like, even these girls are saying like, I don't know, maybe in the future we'd have like a top woman or whatever, like who would be the best player in the world? But like, I don't know, and which is confusing.
That's kind of crazy.
Because,
there's never been a top woman player in the world in chess.
Well, they weren't allowed to play. Because chess is
part of it.
Was originally a war game. It was to teach tactics of war.
Okay.
So women were not allowed to play until like the 1900s. So.
Damn, but yeah, but even still, like, chess is a
mental game.
It's a mental game. Yeah. So there's no physical advantage that men have. What I don't understand is like why there isn't some like autistic savant woman out there that's like just as good as the whatever guy chess guy is, and they sit there and it's a stalemate every time. Like, to me, I feel like they say there's like a couple billion strategies you can use, like, you know, variations. There's got to be someone out there that's got most of that shit mapped out, and if there's one, there's got to be more than one. Yeah. And so, like, I think that, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense the how chess is.
It does in a way, because it's spatially relationships and just women's brains, men's brains work differently.
Yeah.
They literally do work differently.
Our brains are more categorized, whereas theirs are kind of everything connects. Like, it's kind of more webby.
But we have intergender, we have trans, we have so many variations of what gender fluidness is, if that's like...
We did. You're forgetting what year it is.
No, hold on. I mean, we still have it. It's just, it doesn't, it's like, just if it does, if it's not recognized or whatever... There are varying degrees of gender. I know that there's people born male, there's people born female, and then there are people born intersex, and there's people born, you know, whatever. In those situations, though, the only reason I'm even pointing it out is like, you can't say that men think one way, women think the other way. I think there's spectrum of how people think. There's men that are more in touch with their feminine side.
Sure.
There are women who are more in touch with their masculine side. And I think that does affect how your brain works.
It does, but when you're talking about something like this, what we're saying is because you got to look at the overall numbers. So you're picking from a pool of millions of people, not, yes, there's this one person here, but they also have to then be, that one person has to also then be into chess versus out of these millions of people.
But I will say chess is the most accessible, one of the most accessible games in the entire world.
Sure.
You could play chess with literally few pieces of paper on some like lines in the sand if you really wanted to, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you could play in your mind. Like, people play against themselves, right?
No,
like,
I know a guy who does that. It's weird.
That's
crazy. Yeah.
No, but, I know too. I'm saying they play on the phone. They'll call and say the letters and the shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
remember where the pieces are.
What about
are?
Playing
remember
yourself though is crazy, because here's the thing. You go with a move, but then you go to the other side. You're like, how would I combat that?
Right.
And then like, you're teaching yourself. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But these girls, one of them is known for having this strategy called the cow opening. It's just like, I don't know if it's something she made up or if it was like it's something not used very often, but it's just like she needed to have an opening, so she went with the cow opening. And so, this is not going to translate well to radio, but like in anticipation for the cow opening, the other girl's about to make her move, and the girl unzips her jacket, pulls open her shirt, and on her shirt it says, "I'm not in the mood," and it's a picture of a cow. And the girl who does the cow opening lost her fucking mind.
That's great.
And then she's like, "If I win, can I have that?" And she's like, "Yeah." And then she just concentrates entirely on the fucking game and destroys her, has a good match or whatever. And it's like, she's like, "Yes, I fucking won." I love just the competitive, you know. So anyway, there's our chess portion of the Christmas story.
How did we get there?
I don't know.
Was it from the cowtails?
Yeah, maybe.
Cowtails.
Shit. Was that I don't fucking know. I'm so sorry, everybody. So we go.
How did we get there? Wait, I can tell you how we got there. We got there through.
Oh yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Jelly breath.
Jelly breath.
Donut shop. Small nugs.
Yeah.
So Ralph gets his. They get their presents. They open it up. It's
his BB gun.
Yeah, and he gets his BB gun. And
it's from the one person he did not ask for the gun throughout the whole movie.
I didn't think about that.
The only person he should have asked, the only person that wanted to get him that gift was his dad.
Oh, but he's afraid of asking his dad.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Which is, but this is maybe the start of a better relationship between
them. Well, it seemed like they had a good relationship in general, but he just, it was, I think it was different times. I think the father was more of a scary role in the household, where it was more, wait till your dad gets home and I tell him about this.
Wait till your dad gets home. Yeah. Well, I can't tell you how many times I heard that.
Oh, yeah. I still hear that. You know, I still have to do that when I get home. Like, it's not fun getting home and having to discipline your kids, but
yeah,
it's what you got
to
do.
His mom wants to be the good guy all the time.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. That's where I would fail as a parent. That's why I'm not a parent, you know, because if I had children, I don't think I could be a disciplinarian. I'd be, like, too much like, hey, let's hang out. And then the moment they disappointed me, or the moment they came at me with, like, boogers on their fingers or whatever, I'd be like, stay away from me. And I think that that's why I actively choose not to have kids, because like no child should be have to put through a parent who doesn't want to like be around them if they're being gross or being a shithead or whatever. Like I would
or just being a kid, right?
Just being a kid, yeah.
Yeah,
I would just describe kids in general.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. Now I figured that out. Yeah,
gross shitheads.
Yeah.
When I was a child, I don't think I was gross. I was probably still like a clean. Yeah. You know, I don't want. Like, whatever, but...
Oh, your mom has a picture of you somewhere, shit all over your face, yeah. Just like...
Maybe. I used to break out of my crib at night when I was a toddler or whatever, a kid or a baby or whatever. Baby day out, and I would end up in the closet around the... okay, Mike. Mike's eyes... Mike's fucking eyebrows got so hopeful right now.
You ended up in the closet like Randy a few months ago?
Yeah. But anyway, I did not like the weird fourth wall break that he does. First off, he gets the BB gun and he shoots his fucking eye out, which I absolutely, one of the best things ever. Yeah. He doesn't actually.
He breaks his glasses.
He shoots right underneath his eye, it looks like. That's where you're like, bing, bing, and it just immediately.
Mostly, I think the trick was it broke his glasses so he couldn't see out of that eye, so he thought he shot his eye out.
Yeah. No, wait. I don't think it. Broke the glasses and it hit him underneath the cheek, and I think in the whatever his glasses fell off, and then he steps on one of the lenses and breaks it, but he almost shoots his eye out. I mean, within an inch or two of like his eye, so that's pretty funny. That's everyone says it, but I don't like the weird fourth wall break where he goes icicle. I'll do the icicle thing, which I like that, but
he was thinking aloud.
Yeah, well, sure, but when he cries. And then he goes upstairs. It's when he's at the sink.
Oh, the wink.
And he turns to the camera and he goes, you know, like winks or whatever. Yeah. I don't like that. Why make a whole movie where there's no fourth wall breaking?
And then at the very end,
other than narration, then do it. And then we get
the Bumpus dogs.
They come in. So was the Farkas's dogs, no?
No, Farkas was Bumpus, Bumpkus was the neighbors.
Okay.
Farkas was the bully.
Bumpus now. Yeah. They're actually literally called the Bumpus.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then they come in because Ralph left the door open where the mom actually did too. But and they come in and they destroy the father's this reminded me of Brennan very much. The turkey dinner. Yeah. And Brennan is a big Bob's Burger guy too, where he looks like Bob's Burger and he
I'm embodying Bob now.
And he loves turkey.
I do.
What are you doing this year?
Smoking it.
I'm going to get some of that turkey.
It's going to be good.
And then we get then they go to Chinese food, and we get a very that does not hold up well scene of the Chinese workers there being forced to sing carols, but being forced to colonize their fucking accents because it's not good enough to say rah, rah, rah. They have to say la, 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 you know, and it's like,
but it was their boss correcting them.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it better. I think that it's not them working. It's not them being like, oh, we're not getting this, guys. It's this. Yeah. It's like, it wasn't them as like a group being like, let's try to nail this for this family. We're excited to finally have someone here on a Christmas. This is something we've been looking forward to. We've been researching your customs. Yeah. And like, this is the best that we can do. This was like, looked like a manager forcing his coworkers to be like, no, it's Christmas, let's do this. And then they sing, and then he's trying to.
But the family wasn't complaining.
But my mind went to all the Jews that are there that eat there every year, having to now hear all the Christmas carols, and their one place they can go on Christmas.
That's true. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. It's just you haven't heard you sing, like, they have a whole collection, a whole festive. That one Seventh Day kid in your parent, he would lose his fucking mind in that.
Oh,
that,
my God,
The thing that I thought was interesting that I learned this time was that the actress who played the mom didn't know that the duck was going to come out with its head on. And so, like, that part, when they did that line and the guy, the waiter, chops it off, like, that was her genuine reaction to that. Like,
she's like,
oh,
huh,
shit.
Shit.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, well, the thing's looking at us.
He's
and he chops off the head. That's great. Very cool. And then weird, just abrupt, there's credits. I didn't really expect
back
it to end.
They go back to the house, and then you get the scene. The kids are in bed, and the mom and dad are finally having their, like, you know, glass of wine. Dad's going to get lucky.
Right. Listen to Holy Night.
Yeah. It's a little sweet.
And then we get the credits. Yeah. And
you know,
so,
dad got lucky after credits.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And they had a good, successful Christmas.
Well, it was a sweet ending until Brennan ruined it.
No, yeah, they definitely fucked. I gave it a B minus.
That's a happy ending.
Yeah, I gave it a B minus because, I mean, maybe on a rewatch it does lose a little bit of its charm, but, like, I've seen it so many times and it still holds up so well, and I love it. So, yeah, B minus, Brennan.
Yeah, it still holds up for me. It's still one of my favorite Christmas movies. I don't know if it's nostalgia or what. It's just one of the most quotable movies. So I gave it a B plus, 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 plus.
Okay, here's mine. So there you have it, A Christmas Story is a holiday humbug. If you're looking for a festive film experience, stick to the classics like It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street. At least those movies don't make me want to shove a candy cane where the sun don't shine.
What?
However, this is still the Christmas movie all other modern Christmas movies wish they could be. It's like catching lightning in a bottle if lightning was made of childhood memories and casual swearing. And unlike most holiday classics, it actually gets better with age. Kind of like my attitude problem. B minus.
B minus. B minus. Well.
This is what I was saying before about how I could tear a movie apart all through it. But I know it's good.
How many pluses did you give it?
How many pluses did you give it? So how many Christmas trees is this?
I gave it 6 pluses. That's what I wrote down in my notes.
New way of doing this now. Cool.
Yeah. No, I went off on it.
I just changed my grade on the next movie.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So, with adjusted inflation.
It's Christmas tree.
Oh, by the way, everybody, our grading system until a week from now.
Yeah.
2 weeks. When season 4 starts, it'll be a new format. Look forward to that the beginning of January. That's when we're going to change our rating system. But until then, we're finishing it out strong with B is our top and then W is a waste of time. So from that, a B plus, you know, whatever is as high as it gets. Right. So I gave it a B minus. Brendan gave it a B plus.
Six.
And then with a factor of 6, Mike gave it a B minus. Take away the 2 minuses. Christmas Story gets a B plus, 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 plus,
yes.
4 pluses. So, there we go. Official.
Wait for the next movie.
Official.
Which won't be next in line, I guess.
It's already released.
It'll be already out.
So, wait. The Home Alone episode.
Yeah, the Home Alone episode.
To,
wait for that one.
Yeah. All right. Cool, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for joining us for this. I mean, I guess in the beginning, we just tore apart religion and this holiday and this commercialism. We talked a lot about
and then we commercialized it.
And we commercialized it. We talked a lot, went on a lot of tangents. But yeah, you were here with us, so thank you. Merry Christmas. With me as always, it's Brennan. I still like Brennan got ran over by a reindeer. Watching Christmas Story a third time.
30th time.
No one knew that Brennan He had a turkey.
Was a turkey.
Smoking for Thanksgiving time. Shipley up to Boston.
That's a long smoke if I'm smoking it at Christmas time for Thanksgiving.
It's going to be delicious.
or whey powdery.
Whey powder. It's going to be turkey powder.
Turkey powder.
Which sounds delicious. With us, as always, is Mike. I mean, he's been smoking so long, he's basically turkey powder at this point. Larson.
I'm the gizzards.
You're the gizzard. The gizzard of Oz. And I've been your host, Andy Rice. This has been Christmas. We've been Fried Rice Podcast. You've been merry. Have a good night.
It's a Fried Rice Christmas, and I've invited everyone. Grab a pipe, a bong, a joint, and all have ourselves some fun. It's a Fried Rice Christmas, and Andy's really high. He's gonna go on a tangent soon. The guys are standing by. It's a Fried Rice Christmas. Let's all smoke some pot. We love all of our listeners. You all